It is Wednesday, the 26th of June, and this is episode 171 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode, another day of the week. I'm Chris. I am joined by Ian, as ever.
Good evening, Chris.
How are we doing?
I'm all right. I'm loving these. It's another day of the week. You know, as if we'd record on a day of the week.
Well, we've done it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the last 3 weeks. It's all very exciting.
Next Tuesday.
For someone as regular as me.
You've been remarkably unregular.
How are you doing after snorting... Snorting some iron brew, then.
Yeah, and I can't. The worst bit is I can't even remember what you said. But oh, I do.
I'm not saying it again.
It involves Shaq and Tam, so I've just remembered. But yes, I have. It's been a long time since I have snorted iron brew.
How was it for you? It was quite funny, my end.
Sure, you say that to all the boys. I have orange snot now.
Beautiful stuff.
Beautiful. And see any time that happens, but I just think my innards must be. Yeah, rotten.
We're into a bit of a news lull now, really, because we have all the excitement that we've had over the last few weeks, but last month, really. So now we're on to drab and boring stuff. So
no, I want to start with a rant, and the rant's, the rant's not in the bloody show notes.
Wow, go.
I could not believe last night when it came out that I'm going to spend £430 on an Xbox One, and it's not got a headset in the box. Yeah. That made my blood boil.
That's going back in time. That's just ridiculous. Why would they do that? It's probably cost them £2.50 to make those things.
Even the PS4, and fair enough, I laughed at the PS4 headset that's included because it's basically a cable with one earbud and a microphone. Right. And I thought, that's really tight, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, if it works, it works, doesn't it? Now that is smeggy, and it's pointless and going back in time. They proved last time round that it was a good idea for everyone to have a microphone. So,
crazy.
Bad stuff. Crazy. We're going to keep with Microsoft now, though, because they have, we talked about it a couple of weeks back, or maybe more than that, but they have now released Windows 8.1. And basically, they've tweaked things, basically, on the desktop, and they've made things a little bit better and a little bit more user-focused, possibly. Like, you can now have a different size tile.
Woo!
How exciting. And you can now snap apps left and right, but you can adjust the 50-50 balance of them.
Ooh.
Users say that I like it. And I certainly, Windows 7, I used to love the snapping ability, and I miss it like crazy in OS X. OS 10, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, they're sort of pushing that on. And in fact, you can snap more than two apps side by side. Now you can go up to four apps. And they've done some nice little tweaks around their search, so all search results now come in one big pile rather than being split out into categories like documents and folders and things. And just lots of little things, so that their SkyDrive syncing's now sort of happens in the background as long as you're on a sort of broadband connection. Basically, so it's a bit more like Dropbox, really.
Yep.
But the desktop didn't really change too much in the end.
No, so that the start button's appeared again, but it's not really the start menu that that Windows users
love. No, it goes to the start screen now, is what they're kind of naming it, isn't it? So, but you can now tell it to boot to desktop, so you can now bypass that screen if you want to. I'm sure it comes into play again. As soon as you click that start button, right?
But it's weird because I've done the story already. You know, one of the guys I was working with just hated Windows 8 until I told him about the little apps that you can install that brings back that start. And I've done the same. I've got Windows 8 installed under Parallels, and it was one of the first things I did because it was just awkward. Yeah, it just was
just
really
awkward, yeah.
as a flow as a user, you're just like that. It just doesn't make sense. And fair enough, they were wanting to go in a different direction. I'm sure they were marketing that to say, let's go and buy lots of new hardware. You know, people will be like, ooh, touch. I need to go and buy some touch devices now to go and take advantage of all this.
Yeah, because it kind of makes sense when you are, as a touch environment, the tiles work. But the problem is that they're just, you know, whacking onto a desktop and it doesn't. But we know that. We've talked about that before. And we know that they went down this route and it kind of hasn't quite worked out for them.
No.
Their app stores take, you know, taking a bit of facelift. Things like Internet Explorer now have unlimited tabs. Didn't know they didn't have unlimited tabs. And their applications, when you actually look at the list of applications, you can now sort it in many different ways other than alphabetical. So you can most recently used or date installed and things like that. So that all sounds sensible. So basically a nice update.
And it's actually out today. So you can download the preview edition and install it today. So this was all part of their Build 2013 conference. And it's now out. Oh, and IE11. Is going to support WebGL.
Okay, good.
So it actually means the only browser now that's not supporting it is Safari.
Maybe they won't be that far behind. I mean, the thing is, when you see what WebGL can do, it's pretty amazing. I mean,
exactly. Sort of,
it's a portal into any kind of 3D, you know, graphic-y type of stuff. It's amazing.
And just a couple of things. Just we mentioned snapping. I still recommend Moom for OS 10, so that allows you to snap quite nicely.
There you go.
So you can snap.
Always a solution.
You can snap, and it's only like $2.99 or something. It's like buttons. So you can snap to like different regions and grids, and you can save desktop layouts as well.
Okay, there you go.
Nice little addition.
Windows 8 Music was also announced. So what's this going to do then?
So this is like in the previous in Xbox Music previously. They tried to talk about streaming and they didn't really focus on the local contents, but they've kind of reversed that because people still have...
Because they keep to reverse everything at the moment.
Exactly. So they're now putting more emphasis back on the actual music collection. And much like we're seeing everywhere, they've introduced a Pandora-like radio feature. So you can pick any song and then it will start a station with related results and playing music. And that's free. You don't need an Xbox Music subscription for that, but you'll get adverts. So it sounds very similar, like, to the iTunes Radio.
Yeah, okay. Which, you know, like I say, that all these cloud-based storage of music and stuff, it seems silly to have all that music in the cloud ready to go and not to offer some sort of radio solution when other people are doing it anyway. So, yep, good stuff. And we're also getting apps from Facebook and Flipboard coming to Windows 8. It's unbelievable they haven't got them already, right?
Yep. I mean, are we a year? Is it a year
How
since?
How frustrated would you be if you'd got like a Windows 8 device?
Exactly. I mean, it's just like you can pick up almost, I think, every device now and you should be able to install a Facebook app. You know, it's like...
It's kind of the thing that Facebook do first, right?
Yep.
And well, I don't know. That's not true, actually. They stuck with their web for ages, didn't they? So
they did, but generally, you know, they've been moving to be quite aggressive on platforms and even moving away from, because I think a lot of the apps, I think, on both Android and iOS, it was kind of an app wrapped around their web view and they've actually went native on the apps to get their speed. So it just seems crazy that, you know, that obviously Microsoft are really keen to get developers on board. They're paying silly money to get people to port apps over.
And it's still not working.
But the sales aren't there and it's only just now we're seeing Facebook, Flipboard and NFL apps. And NFL apps, I mean, we saw a lot of that at E3. So they've obviously...
Americans like that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Someone has to.
Well, I quite like NFL as well, but it's not going to make me choose a platform. You know, I wouldn't go to a certain platform because I can watch, you know, NFL.
And they're talking about, you know, making these apps the best they could be for the platform. They're not saying they're going to be the best on any platform. They just want to make them good.
The best a man can get.
There's music that goes with that.
Yeah.
They also talked about opening up their Bing platform. So you can... basically use an API to access that kind of data, which all seems sensible.
Yeah, and I think they've obviously had API support previously, but this looks to be actually open up features, you know, so...
giving more areas that are open to that API, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you can actually use some of the more intelligent search and natural user interfaces, optical character recognition, mapping, and I'm seemingly also, I think I read someone else, you could use their voice searching. You know, built in from other apps.
Right, okay.
So I think if a developer, this is obviously quite a significant set of features. And
yeah, I don't know how open Google's search and, you know, technology is really. I've not really looked into it. I know that they've got millions and millions of APIs, but whether that goes into the actual search technology, I'm not sure.
And it was interesting because I've never seen Google talk about it in these terms.
No. And you don't see other people saying powered by Google on their searches. It's almost like Google want the searches to be, you have to go to Google to do it, which I guess is understandable.
And clearly we don't see anything from Apple. I mean, even Siri, everybody, it's one of the things that disappointed me most about iOS 7. Yeah, everybody get caught up in the kind of reskin and the new design and you know, where's the Siri APIs? You know, when Siri first came out, everybody was like, oh, it'd be great once third-party developers can get hold of it. And everybody expected it last year, and then they thought, well, it must come this year. And it's like...
Yeah, but that's the same as every year. We always expect two steps and we only get one. It will come, but I think they're still trying to work it all out, aren't they? I mean, you know, they're certainly increasing the Siri integration all the time, so...
Yeah, well, we did see a new beta this week for developers, which brought voice memos back with the worst icon ever.
There seems to be a thing,
and I know he
can develop an interface, but he just doesn't like an icon.
I shouldn't dwell on the icons, but this one's so bad that because there's a new animation when you kind of open an app back in and out, it actually creates a noir pattern on the interface, and you're like, that is just, if somebody had used that at all, you'd be like, we can't put that out, you can't ship that.
I wonder whether there's a lot of this, that sort of noise about the moment, people hate these icons, so maybe they'll do something about it.
Oh, there's
the thing is, normally everyone goes, oh, actually, these icons, it's this new design style, and everyone copies it. But this time, they're not going to, are they?
Well, and there's a poll. Somebody's taken each of the icons that are different, and the votes on the majority of them, and the new ones are better than the old ones. But it's like, A, how many fanboys are just clicking the I like the new ones better? B, how many are liking them just because they're new?
All I've heard is people moaning about them.
Yeah, but thankfully, Safari, Voice Memo, Contacts, all the ones that suck are actually preferred the old ones.
And they've been giving away, sorry, the last bit of Microsoft news, they've been giving away tablets again.
Yep. So you'll get an
Acer. Because they can't sell them.
You get an Acer. Well, the Acer Iconia W3 is a new one. But they're also giving away Windows Surface Pros, and many believe it's just because they've got quite a lot left over, so let's get rid of them.
A bit of stock going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I bet it's not.
I bet it is.
So yeah, so we're chucking them out. And another feature of this year's conference is no one's been doing that. They're the only ones that have kept up with that tradition.
No, Google gave away stuff.
Did they? What did they give though? Not. It wasn't like last year.
A Chromebook Pixel, which cost $1,500.
Oh, okay, yeah. Take that back. I've completely forgot about that. It's just gone out of my mind.
Yeah.
Facebook. Now they've been getting into trouble because of their obnoxious and sometimes, frankly, I guess, bad advertising they have on the right hand side of their pages. Some big advertising people like BSkyB have said, right, we're not going to advertise with you anymore because we keep appearing next to these really, really, really ugly and nasty adverts that are there.
I've never understood how Facebook have got away with it up to now. I've never understood their policies around about, you know, what they allow and what they will take down. You know, it's like we wouldn't show women's breasts and we forcibly take down those images all across the platform, but we're quite happy to have, you know, racism and fascism and sexism and all the things that people don't want to see online, and actual, you know, campaigns against people, you know, people, you know, getting bullied and picked on, quite happy about that because it doesn't break our terms and conditions. Rubbish. I'm ranting.
Yeah, and but say all the and the adverts on the right hand side of the page, they've also, a lot of them are now using that shock tactic of getting a really quite bad image showing up.
Exactly.
Just to get you to read what it is. And yeah. and it's nothing related to that image, and it's just being used in a purely speculative way, and say these big companies are saying we're not having any of that. We're not going to be associated in a platform that does that. So Facebook are going to have to try and figure out a way around. Sort of figure out how they're going to do it.
BSkyB aren't the only one. There's a couple other big companies also removed their Nissan and Nationwide. It was much the same reasons. So it was all, and it was specifically they were getting advertised against pages that were glorifying or trivializing violence against women and girls. You know, so really, it's so obvious that that content shouldn't be there. You know what I mean?
So BSkyB have sort of said, look, we, you know, sort out your system so that we can at least pick and choose where we're going to get associated to.
Yeah.
And also just clean your act up. And Facebook are kind of saying, yeah, fair enough. We've got 100 billion pages to get through here to try and figure out, you know.
I'm not saying it's trivial, but at the same time, this is the this is the danger of opening up these, because I can see it when we post on our digital lookbooks page. It's like, oh, give us, you know, spend, how much do you want to spend a day? And we'll manage the adverts for you.
Mm.
And it's like, no, well,
no, yeah, and yeah,
I don't like that. You know, I'd want to be comfortable about where our particular brand is, if we've got a brand, but you know what I mean? If I was an owner of a company, I would want to know where that is.
Yeah, sure. And say Google AdSense, as far as your website goes, allows the website owner to control what adverts is being are being shown. And
absolutely.
I assume Facebook will come up with a similar idea. But this is not just about, this is not the website owner deciding what's going to be shown. This is the advertiser saying, I don't want to be shown on this page. And I guess AdSense has probably got some rules around that as well. I'm not an advertiser, so I haven't actually looked into whether you can choose where your adverts appear. But another Facebook news, there was a security bug which has been around for over a year now, but has only just been sort of highlighted and now been corrected. But it kind of uncovers a load of shadowy and nasty undercurrents. Because basically, it was the data they use to try and link up you with other people. So it's how they know you might know Bob Smith.
Hi, Bob.
Basically, if you choose to upload your contacts to let them see if they can find people for you, that information didn't get used and then chucked away. It's kind of being stored as a shadow profile. I think that's what they're calling it, right? A shadow profile, which is supposed to stay entirely separate from your actual profile, but is secretly linked in the background, if you like. And it just turned out that someone had programmed it wrong, and so part of this shadow profile was getting attached to your real profile, which meant that if you ever then downloaded your information using their download your information tool, you could see all this shadow profile information that was attached, and in fact see stuff from your mates as well.
Yes, I think that was the worst thing about it. It was bad enough that potentially your data has been leaked out without you knowing about it. But if it's information that you've given to Facebook, you kind of think, well, okay, that's bad, but fair enough. But it's the fact that they've mined this data from elsewhere. So it's data about you that they've stored without your knowledge and then shared out to somebody.
Yeah, so anyone that's up, exactly. So anyone who knows you and you're in their address book, if they chose to go up to Facebook and send their addresses, well, your address is attached with that. If they can associate that address with you, they will in the background. So potentially, even if you've never given anyone your address and contact details, so if you've never given Facebook your address and contact details, potentially they do know it and they've stored it against you.
Yes.
And now they've leaked it out.
And the worst thing was, it wasn't leaking it out on a page. You know, it wasn't like you had to go and scrape it. It was when you used their download tool. So
so you actually, nice, packaged up. Here you go. Here's the data we've stolen. so it's unclear as to what the rights are on that front, because you have never given them the right to store that information against you, and it's never publicly done. So I wonder whether there can be some data protection stuff around that. But
and what they've said is 6 million people have been affected by this, and what I'm guessing is that shows the amount of people that have been downloading. You know, these
6 million people have done the DYI.
Yes, because I'm sure it was for everybody that this bug was there, but you potentially haven't
been.
Yeah.
So if you were a part of that shadow profile of those 6 million people that did use the tool, then you're affected. But they're apparently reaching out to the people that have been affected. I don't know what reaching out means. Sorry.
They sent an email to tell you that you have been affected, and we apologise and we'll fix the bug.
Cheers and thanks for your information.
Yeah, because what I would like
to... We've sent this to your shadow address.
Yeah, and I think they've obviously not dwelled on that whole shadow profile and
no, of course
what we
they
really
haven't. I mean, we kind of know it's happening. We know, you can imagine what Google's shadow profile looks like, but it is embarrassing. It's pretty ugly. Doesn't matter if you don't even exist online, you can be pretty sure that Facebook have got a record for you. And that's quite worrying. You know, all those people that say, well, I don't want to be on Facebook because I don't want them having my information. Well, they know it.
I mean, you imagine if I downloaded like Google information about you and it included like all your search history.
Well, exactly.
You know, you'd be like, wow.
Yeah, that would really be frightening.
The things you do in the line of research.
Let's move on. Sony. Yeah. They've been releasing new products. They've released what can only be described as a tablet, but they've called it a phone. It's a 6.4-inch screen. It's kind of thin. So they're advertising this as the thinnest big thing, which is ridiculous. And it's waterproof as well. So you can actually dunk it in the loo if you actually take it to the loo and drop it because it's so flipping big. Or have it in the bath. So yeah, other than that, it's pretty much an Android device, but you can use, instead of the stylus that it comes with, you can also use a graphite pencil.
Ooh.
Which, why would you want to draw on your tablet with a graphite pencil?
I have no idea.
It's pretty mucky.
This is like, I mean, Sony are in deep trouble with, you know, from a monetary point of view. They can't make money.
Oh, they are. I mean, I haven't looked at their results recently. I mean, because they were going through a boom period, but then their products became all really expensive. And then Apple pretty much said, we're doing expensive and people are spending money with us now. Yes. So did that screw them over?
Because if you think back, their laptops were always like the kind of, you know, if you looked at HP and you looked at Dell, and then there was always like, spend 500 quid more and you could get a Vio. Look at the design and you were like, oh, that's nice. And as you said, Apple's just owned it. And Sony are struggling. They actually brought out new tablets, which we never really covered because it was in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks of all the craziness. And the tablets are like the thinnest and they look great and they seem like work really well. I just can't see them getting any traction. They're just lost.
Why would they?
Yeah. So and it's a bit like this. They're obviously seeing the Galaxy Tab phones and thinking, you know, we need to be in there competing with this because we're just basically giving Samsung that market. And a bit like how Apple have got the tablet market, they're seeing these giant phones as Samsung now owns it. 6.4-inch, I mean, it's a tablet. I mean, an X is 7.
Yeah.
You know, seven inches is a tablet. Yeah. But they're basically released a tablet that's a phone.
Well, as they say, phablet is the term, isn't it?
Yeah.
This thing's got a massive screen. It's got a full 1080p resolution, but they're saying that it's going to have 11 hours talk time and 120 hours audio playback. So I guess something that big is going to have a big battery, right?
Yep, and it comes with a rucksack to carry it in.
Anti-rucksack. Excellent. Sorry, that amused me. Yeah, so anyway, so that's out. Well, is it? Well, it's coming out.
It's coming out. I think it seems to be more for the Asian market, and then they're Europe in September. So China, Indonesia, Singapore in July, Europe in September.
So, I mean, there's a different device for everything at the moment, isn't there? There's every single screen size you can imagine, every single... It's
and just while we're talking about phones, Daily Mail, I shake my fist at you, not only because you're Tory scum, and you profiteer out of like videos of people dying, which they've been doing this week. But they put out a report that says iPhone 5 is the slowest phone in the market right now. Of course it is. It's a year old. So obviously things like the Galaxy and the HTC One and all that were faster. It's like, you cock.
Faster at what as well?
Yeah, what, exactly.
Phone calls, who cares?
Well, nobody uses it for phones.
That's true. Sony smartwatch. So another product they've released. So this is their second smartwatch. Their first one was a bit dogged by a low resolution screen and it didn't really work very well in bright light. But this one apparently fixes some of those issues. Looks pretty nice. It pairs with Android much, and it's easier to pair, basically. That was one of the other criticisms.
It's easy to pair, but basically you only get this if you've got an Android phone. It doesn't work with iOS. It only works with Android.
Fair enough.
But one of the new features was, like, if you've not got a phone, you can use it as a watch, which is just like, it's somebody like, you know, is Brent working for them, you know, and putting together their presentation material, because it was laughable.
It does look like a little Android screen. It's even got the sort of same Android logos along the bottom, sort of home and back and menu. The problem is they're up against, you know, the Pebble, which got a lot of traction because of the Kickstarter and other people are releasing.
Our friend of the show, Brian, loves his Pebble.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Loves it. You know, so I was a bit critical of it because I just found it, for me, it was limited.
Did you keep it or did you...
Oh, no, I sold it. I sold it for a massive profit.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Brilliant.
Bought it for 80 quid, sold it for £260.
Hey, blooming it.
260, 240? It was three times what I paid anyway, yeah. And it was like, thanks very much.
And I don't miss it that much.
Definitely not. Well, I sold it within like 2 days. It was like, got it, tried it, and I was like, I'm never going to use this.
There you go. I did warn you. But then again, you didn't matter if I warned you because you wouldn't have made that much money. Right, no. Barclays are also trying to make money by selling customer data, the bastards.
Took the word out of my mouth.
Yeah, so pretty much they've released a letter to all their customers saying, well, in fact, all their current account customers saying, right, all your information we are going to sell to people. Thank you very much.
No, that on its own is bad enough. This is 30 million customers that we're going to sell to companies and also share data with government departments and MPs. Why MPs? When I read that, I was like, so I can understand.
To see what's happening in their constituency.
Exactly.
What?
But this is, it gets worse. The details that they're going to actually sell and share may include images of you or recordings of your voice. And I'm like, hold on, Bartley's. It's bad enough. Because initially they talked about spending habits. Why do you need my photo associated with my spending habit?
And why are you collecting my photo? Apparently they're collecting all the social stuff. If you've got a public profile, they'll grab your photo. If you've got a public Twitter account, they'll grab all your tweets, mine it all, put it together. And apparently none of this is individually identifiable. I'm sorry, my face and my tweets are pretty identifiable.
It's just unbelievable. So the fact that you can go and do like a Google image search with an image and it goes and matches it, you're trying to say that if you've got all this customer detail with a guy that looks like you, Chris, and you couldn't just go and do a Google image search, and I don't know if it would work if we went and searched for you, would it take you to like new Academy Racer and show your little kind of woohoo, I've won? but it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
I can feel you're as angry as I am. I'd almost prefer not to know this is all going on. You know, it just feels ugly. And it's like, say, why the bank needs to go and attach all of your online personality to your current account. I guess it's annoying, isn't it?
It's also at least like details and new ways in which Bartley's companies can use customer data. Yeah, and it's like, I tell you what, people should just leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just leave. People power.
Yeah, they should. Definitely look into it if you're with Barclays. That's sinister, I think, is a good word for it. The Google Reader coming to an end. I don't know what that was. that was my little violin because he was coming to an end.
Sorry, it's only a little.
And you've obviously had a bit of a search around alternatives. I personally just put Feedly on and sort of just had a quick blast with it.
And to be fine, Feedly, so this is like July 1st, it shuts down. And so they've been nicely putting up a notice saying, you know, we are going to be shut next week.
we really are doing it, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing to do is if you do use it, back up the data. So you can do exports and get all your data out of it. So you get a nice OML file that you can go and import elsewhere. Alternatively, go and fire up Feedly and sign in your Google credentials and it'll grab everything. And then they've now got web apps, iOS app, Android apps, and lots of support.
It's not as quick and slick as Reader, is it?
It's not.
You have to click through stories. I'm sure there'll be a shortcut button. I'm sure there is, but I haven't found it yet.
I just found like on the tablet, so on the iPad and Android, I just found a bit like, it's just not as slick as...
It's not quite right, is it?
You know, I'm used to using the app called Reader, and Google Reader was the kind of sync engine for it, and it worked so well. It was great. Had everything I needed. I could fly through articles.
You just scroll down, don't you, and just keep
flicking through them, and it was really good. So I've actually went and tried a couple of alternatives. Mm-hmm. So one's Newsblur. You can do a free one, but the free account, I think, only allows you to do like 60 feeds or something or a certain amount. And I'm just like...
For most normal people, that's all right. For you, freaky person.
My 600 and something feeds.
600 feeds, and I bet they repeat themselves all the time.
No, I've actually done really well and got rid of a lot of the kind of tech and gadget repeats. A lot of it is like I've got 300 or 400 like what I call blogs. It's just personal blogs that I follow, and they're infrequent posting. Yep. So it's like there's enough about me. So I've tried News.
Barclays would have collected that for you now.
Exactly. Scum. So Newsblur, and what's interesting about that is it kind of works very similar to Google Reader, sorts into folders, but you can start to train it. So you can start to say, I actually prefer these articles. So see from the big tech sites like TechCrunch and, The Verge, you can say, things on Apple or things from this particular author, I really want to read. Other ones, not so much. So you can start, you know, if it's been a really busy day, you can. So it's almost like trying to sift out the
priority inbox type thing, really.
Yes. So I've started using that. The web front end isn't as nice and slick. There's an iOS app as well. Again, not as nice and slick. But there's a nice little app on the Mac called ReadKit, which is only $2.99. It's a bargain, and it gives me a reader. You know, it looks like the reader app, and it syncs with NewsBlur. And I've been using that this week, and that's actually worked really well. But there's alternative. Dig launched their reader alternative yesterday, but it seems like it's quite limited, and also they're doing a slow rollout because obviously they don't want to kill themselves. AOL Reader, AOL came out of nowhere and says, by the way, we've got a reader product.
It's still arrived.
Exactly. And seemingly it was, although it's quite simple and straightforward, it kind of did everything Google Reader did. And it's free.
Maybe that's a good one to look at.
And we've seen NetNewsWire relaunch on the Mac as well, but no real syncing support yet. All like coming soon. So really, I still think, see if you're at all worried, go and sign up to Feedly and just get at least.
Well, at least you've got something somewhere then, haven't you?
Yeah.
And if you say, sounds a bit like you can see NewsBlur as a good alternative if you're willing to spend some money.
I think for me, it's NewsBlur just now. And what I'm expecting is at some point, the actual reader app, which is Reader, they have not released any updates this week, but they did kind of promise to start supporting like Feedly Cloud and NewsBlur. If they supported the Feedly backend, I think I would just use Feedly. I've not used the training enough in NewsBlur to see if it's worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I think for casual user, don't bother. You know, it's like Feedly's more than enough. It's just for crazy folk.
And things will change over time, and whoever wins the war will eventually, you know, sleek things up, I'm sure.
I'm just sorry to see something like Google Reader disappear. It was one of my, still part of my, you know, everyday usage.
Yep. British Airways are going to gently allow some electronic use of some devices at some time on their flights.
Now,
or not on their flights, as it turns out.
I was exceedingly excited. I came home from Barrington tonight and I was like, feck me. British Airways, the headline is British Airways to relax rules on electronic devices. Now, when I read that headline, I was like, that's ideal. I'll be able to get on the flight, switch on my iPad, just use it. And then when I get to the other end, put it away and get off the plane. None of this, oh, please switch off your devices. Oh, please take out your earphones because you need to listen to us. Oh, please wait till the seatbelt sign comes off before you can switch your device back on. And it's crazy. I was listening to them on Monday. I'm ranting. Sorry. But I'm flying down to London and it's like, please enable your flight, you know, safe mode and then switch the device off. And it's like, what crazy talk? What are you on about? It's just nonsense.
But now you're allowed, as soon as you land now, you can turn on your device, but not before. I mean, they did plenty of testing now on basically protecting their instruments and stuff. And it has to be said that unless something seriously has failed on their instrumentation, they don't get affected nowadays. Yet it's still CAA that, you know, they just don't like the risk that's involved in that.
So the rumor is that the American equivalent are about to announce that tablets and Kindles, you're going to be allowed to leave switch on and just use throughout, because there's so many planes, and I've given iPads out to pilots and said, you know, replace all your paper maps with these.
Mm.
And it's just foolish. And anyway, I fly all the time. I've never taken a plane down once and I don't switch on flight mode and I don't switch my phone off.
You bad, bad man.
Exactly. Now Bartley's will be able to sell that I'm a bad man.
That is the end of our podcast for today. We've actually nearly managed half an hour. Well done.
Thank you.
www.digitaloutbox.com if you want to read more, see what we're doing, read show notes, etc. Email info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. Twitter and Skype Digital Outbox as well. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and you can follow my racing antics at academyracer.co.uk. Ian?
Blog is ind.net, and Twitter is Shweepa.
Fabuloso. We will talk at you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You play the music in your head whenever we say goodbye.
dum, 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 dum.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first thing that goes through my head.
I don't know why I always kind of smell and think, ah, bomb dogs.
Dump, 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 dump.